We are going to cross to Israel, where we're going to be speaking to Andrea Simantov, Israeli personality and radio talk show host on Israel News Talk Radio. I believe it's a festive, marvelous Purim in Israel. Andrea.
Oh my gosh, it's too festive. I'm trying to stay sober to speak with you guys.
No, please don't.
I want you to know. First of all, happy Purim. Purim Sameach.
Purim Sameach.
Simon.
Am I speaking with Simon and Paul?
You are. We sound like we've jumped. I said to him, we sound like we've jumped straight out of the New Testament, the two of us, Simon and Paul. He turned it around. He said it's actually Paul Simon, which changes the whole dynamic.
50 ways to tune your chavah.
Remember.
Yeah, absolutely. So you were going to talk to us about Purim and charity and outreach in Jerusalem.
Yeah. So first of all, I wanted to say I have to first wish everybody really a Purim Sameach. I do 2 days Purim, okay, because I'm very religious. And today I'm in Beit El, holy Beit El, where Jacob had his dream. We're visiting family because it's not yet Purim in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a walled city, just like Shushan HaBirah. So we read Megillah tonight and tomorrow morning when you guys are nursing your hangovers.
Oh. I need to go out and get drunk first.
I heard something about this.
Yeah, no. What time is the show over?
No, we don't wait until after the show. We just drink on air. We multitask like that.
I like it. I like it. So anyway, you know, they always ask me, what am I going to speak about? And we don't want to speak about anything ugly or fun. We want to speak about something wonderful. And this is, it's always the holiday of giving for Jews, but Purim in Jerusalem is, it's so much fun and it is so warm and it is so touchy-feely. It has a kind of a Woodstock feeling to it, because everybody, whether they're secular, whether they're religious, whether they're Sephardic, Ashkenazi, everybody just kind of gets out and it's a 2 day, 3 day, 2 week or 3 week party. And one of the things that's very important, I never understood, because when we would give, when people would bring us Mishloach Manos, the gift baskets, very often, whoever I was with, I would see them give money to whoever was delivering it, whether it was a quarter, whether it was a shekel, whether it was 10 shekels, 5 shekels. And I never understood that. Are they paying for the Mishloach Manos? And it isn't that. I understood that this really is a holiday of giving, because we cannot celebrate if our brethren are not. And it's very, very exciting to see it. You know, the halacha, the Jewish law says that we have to give a half shekel apiece. But what if I'm a Rockefeller? I could give a billion shekels.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed. It's a half shekel from a Rockefeller, and it's a half shekel from the poorest of the poor. Nobody is exempt. And so that's what I wanted to share. And I wanted to tell you that there's a bunch of organizations. I know that, you know, I always like to put the bright side on Israel. Bright, bright, wonderful, wonderful. Nothing could be off here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. However,
uh-huh.
We do have a lot of poverty. There is a lot of poverty in Israel. Terrible poverty. Something that is not really known in Jewish communities around the world. Most Jewish communities are, if not terribly affluent, at least comfortable. But here in Israel, there are children going to school hungry. There's terrible, terrible poverty. And Purim, if I tell you, the gift baskets, the letter writing, the celebrating with the elderly, with, it's one of my favorite charities are the Lone Soldiers. Now here, they're not poor, but they're very alone. They come from countries where they may have had Purim celebrations, or they may not even have known that they were Jewish or connected to the Jewish people. And in Israel, people go, they dance with them. We go to the machsomim. Help me, somebody. How do I say machsom in English?
Machsom is a block.
The security barriers that separate us from dangerous areas. And it's a riot. You go with your wigs and you go with cookies and all kinds of treats and you bring pizzas to these guys on Purim.
So it's bringing the best out of everybody, Andrea.
What was that?
I said it's bringing the best out of everybody.
It really, really does. I like that. It brings the best out of everybody, and it brings the best out of everybody as we are preparing for this season of redemption. Because if we don't understand what we were redeemed for, then it just is another blip on the calendar. But Purim gets the ball rolling, gets us to understand this achdut, this brotherhood, this united tapestry, and the fun goes on and continues until we really do merit that liberation from Egypt.
Wow.
So ask me a question, a real question.
I don't have an interesting question. I've got an interesting little anecdote that I want to give you. You bring up all my good memories of having lived in Israel. I don't know why. It's because you're there and I'm connected via this international, I don't know, zeros and beeps and whatever it is. I lived in Israel during the time of the Gulf War, the Milchemet HaMifratz.
Right.
And I remember how awful it was being in the sealed rooms, and it was just, it was not a good time to be in Israel. I'm unsure if you were there then already or not.
I wasn't there, but we're talking about the end of 89, beginning of 90, am I right?
Yes, now I don't know if my memory is
January
serving
90. January 90.
Incorrectly or what, but I remember it, the last night of the war was, could it possibly have been Purim, or am I imagining that?
I don't know.
I'm sure it was. And just to have been under missile attack from Iraq. Okay. It's not too far from the biblical, where this whole story happened anyway. And then to come out of the Cheder Atum, the sealed rooms into freedom on your first night into Purim, it's just, my irreligious soul started to wonder a little bit, because that was just too, it can't be that coincidental. It's just, it was wacky in a good way.
What a brilliant, it's a very exciting memory and sense you're having, because again, we have to ask ourselves, well, what has changed? Here we are going out into this, and the same enemies, the same cast of characters.
Yet
we've seen even in our secular souls, the fact that we have this itch in our stomach, this migared bebeten, that makes us, you know, the Chafetz Chaim, everybody knows the Chafetz Chaim, who he wrote this great treatise on speaking evil, Lashon Hara, evil talk. And one of the things he says is, after you read all his words, all his lessons, all his observations, if the only thing you do is shut the cover of the book and heave a great sigh, the book has had an effect. You're coming out into this festival, and all we want to do is celebrate. All we want to do is sing. There's no logical reason for Jews to exist today. Do the math. There's absolutely no reason. And yet we survive and we thrive and we celebrate year after year and we point our fingers, and we're a defiant, crazy, strong-willed, hard-necked people. And that's what you saw coming out of that Cheder Atum.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nobody cares if you're a believer or a not believer. The fact that you are part of the tribe means that the bracha, the blessings of the tribe, as well as the tribulations of the tribe, which is why we must, that's why we're a half shekel people. We can't do it alone. We can't do it without the seculars. We can't do it without the Haredim. We can't do it without the agnostics and the questioners and the absolute adherents, those who drink the Kool-Aid and those who eschew sugar.
Andrea, this is overload. This is overload. I'm showing Sasha, who's sitting next to you, I've got goosebumps listening to you talk.
Is it not that the aircon in studio?
No. Okay. It's because I'm very moved. I'm very, very moved by what she's saying. And I'm also...
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there in June. And my husband said to say hi to everybody. He'll be there in August. We don't travel together. We're like the royal family. Okay? We have to leave a legacy. One of us has to live to tell the story.
No, I totally get that. Just before we let you go, I just need to tell you that a listener has sent us the most delightful picture imaginable. He's clearly, him and his wife or partner, I don't know who it is, are boarding an El Al plane in Israel, and they've taken a picture of it. And on every single seat is a hat perched behind the cushion, one more colorful and more wacky than the next, and on the pillow is a pair of really wacky off-the-wall kind of sunglasses, and then they've taken a picture of themselves and sent it to us, and I just look at this and I think, oh my goodness me, this, you are so lucky to be living in a place where this is just so part of the natural flow of things. It's just beautiful.
You know, the bank tellers today, the cops, the bus drivers, everyone is wearing clown noses and crazy wigs and hats. It's crazy. Absolutely everybody. And you drive, and my husband and I went as Captain and Mrs. America. Nice. And we're just in blonde wigs and big glasses, and nobody gives you a second look. This is what we do today.
Oh, how fabulous. Andrea, we look forward to meeting you in person when you come to South Africa. Thank you for joining us today, and Chag Sameach for tomorrow.
Thank you. Purim Sameach. Open the bottles now.